Welcome to the Employment, Law, and HR Podcast with your host, Allison Cauley.
Hello and welcome to this episode number 11 of the Employment Law and HR podcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Allison Cauley and I'm your host for this podcast. For those of you who haven't listened before, this podcast is designed to bring you a quick, easy to listen to, easy to understand update on employment law and a HR best practice tip. It won't be longer than about 15 or 20 minutes, enabling you to consume the content really quickly and easily whilst you're on the go and keeping you up to date with employment law. If you like what you hear on the podcast, but you'd like to know more information about employment law, I do have a fortnightly newsletter where I go into a bit more detail about a couple of cases or some changes that are taking place. And if you'd like to sign up, you can go to adviceforemployers.co.uk and you can sign up there for the free fortnightly newsletter. So I'm going to get straight into the content for this week. What I'm going to talk to you about this week is a case that has recently been heard in the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and it's a case involving unfair dismissal. Now, it serves as quite a useful reminder about the procedure that's required in dismissing somebody for gross misconduct. And it also, the reason why the case has been reported particularly is because it deals with the question of payments of the Employment Appeal Tribunal fees by the losing party. The case is called Mrs. Old versus Palace Fields Primary Academy. In this case, Mrs. Old was employed as a teacher at the school and she'd been employed for 21 years. And in 2012, an incident occurred where one pupil had written some nasty comments about another pupil who had special needs on a picture of that pupil. The reason why disciplinary proceedings were begun against Mrs. Old is that a teaching assistant, Mrs. Thorpe, alleged that Mrs. Old had actually expanded the image and called a number of pupils over to see it, and therefore not dealing with the matter appropriately. Understandably, Mrs. Old refuted this account, and following an investigation by a disciplinary panel, they accepted Mrs. Thorpe, the teaching assistant's, account of what happened and decided to dismiss Mrs. Old for gross misconduct. Mrs. Old pursued a claim in the Employment Tribunal for unfair dismissal, and in the Employment Tribunal she was unsuccessful with her claim, and the judge found that the dismissal had been for a fair reason. Mrs. Old then appealed to the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and she appealed on the basis that the judge in this case had not considered the procedural fairness of the dismissal in an appropriate way. What was alleged was that there were two incidents during the disciplinary where procedurally they could potentially have been unfair. The first point that Mrs. Old raised about the procedural fairness of her dismissal was that in the course of the investigation, the school had obtained some witness statements from pupils regarding the incident in question. And although these weren't considered by the disciplinary panel who took the decision to dismiss Mrs. Old, they were not disclosed to Mrs. Old. And she alleged that this was procedurally unfair because the employer, the school, were under a duty to disclose material which they had obtained which might support her case. The Employment Appeal Tribunal judge agreed with Mrs. Old and said that the fact that she hadn't been given a copy of these statements which could potentially assist her case was a potential procedural error that should have been taken into account by the employment judge but hadn't been in the Employment Tribunal in the first instance. The judge said that the failure not necessarily made the dismissal unfair, but it is one that should have been considered by the judge. The second issue that the Employment Appeal Tribunal judge had to consider was whether minutes of a meeting between Mrs. Old and the head teacher, which had been shown to the disciplinary panel who made the decision to dismiss her, should have also been shown to Mrs. Old, and whether their failure to show them to Mrs. Old or give her the opportunity to comment on them was procedurally unfair. Again, the Employment Appeal judge agreed this was a potential procedural irregularity that should have been considered by the employment judge. As a consequence, the employment appeal judge didn't overturn the decision of the employment judge and didn't say that the dismissal had been unfair. But what the employment appeal judge said was that the case should return back to the original employment judge and reconsider the criteria for a fair dismissal, taking into account the question of procedural fairness. What this means for Mrs. Old is that her case has to go back before the employment judge, who will then consider those two points of procedural unfairness by the employer, the school, and then make a decision again on whether he considers the dismissal of Mrs. Old to be fair or not. What is interesting is that it will now be for the employment judge to make an overall decision about whether dismissal was fair in all the circumstances, including the fact that after 21 years service, Mrs. Old now faces a career-destroying outcome. The reason why this case has been reported is because following the Employment Appeal Tribunal's decision to remit the case, Mrs. Old's representative applied for the school to pay the fees that Mrs. Old had to pay to pursue her appeal. As you're probably aware, in order to pursue a claim in the Employment Tribunal or to pursue an appeal, you have to lodge a fee. Now, there is a £400 lodgement fee in the Employment Appeal Tribunal and a £1,200 hearing fee. Mrs. Old's representative said that the school should pay these as she had won her appeal. The school argued against it, and the Employment Appeal Tribunal judge stated that with this fee regime and repayment of fees, there is a wide discretion of the Employment Appeal Tribunal, and therefore he ordered that the school pay £600 of the fee. So they just had to pay half of the hearing fee rather than paying anything towards the lodgement fee. And the reason for this is because he said that Mrs. Old had not been entirely successful with her appeal because he had remitted the case back to the Employment Tribunal instead of overturning the decision. So to reflect the fact that it was not entirely successful, he only ordered the school to pay half of the hearing fee. Now, what does this mean for you as an employer? Well, in my opinion, it's just another illustration of why you need to be sure that you get your procedure right when you're dismissing somebody, because that is a question that the Employment Tribunal will ask themselves when considering whether a decision to dismiss is fair or not, particularly when we're talking about a conduct issue, and a conduct issue where there are two sides of the story and potentially conflicting evidence. You must ensure that you follow the correct procedure. And as this case sets out, that includes providing all information to the employee in question so that they have the opportunity to consider that information and to comment on it, which includes anything that might support the employee's case. You're under an obligation as an employer to provide that to them. And if there is anything at all that your appeal panel or disciplinary panel are considering, you should ensure that the employer has an opportunity to comment on it. Of course, we don't know the outcome of Mrs. Old's case. It hasn't yet been decided by the employment judge, but it is something that you should be aware of, because it could potentially affect any defence that you might have. If you find yourself in a situation where you're wishing to discipline a member of staff, or you think that you might be coming up to an issue of gross misconduct or a second disciplinary that could result in dismissal, it's crucial that you get some advice about that specific circumstance. This week's HR tip of the week is following on the recruitment theme from the last two podcast episodes, and that is in relation to your SIFT process. Now, when you're planning a recruitment, it's important that you set out in your mind or in writing, preferably, how you're going to deal with finding the right candidate for you. And the reason I bring this up is I was only talking to somebody just the other day who went through a whole series of advertising for a post and getting their applications sorted, and received a number of applications which they went through, and then they began interviews. And as soon as the candidates sat down, it became apparent that they weren't going to be suitable for the role. And what happened was the SIFT process from application to decision to give an interview had not been undertaken by the same people who were going to be doing the interviews, and therefore the candidates that they were seeing were not suitable, and it was just a complete waste of time, not only for those candidates who turned up for interview, but for those people who had to take time out of their day to carry out those interviews. So my tip is, ensure that you, whoever is undertaking the SIFT, understands the criteria with which you want to interview people, the criteria that's required for the job, and that they are sifting and sending through the right people for interview. This can be done easily by having a criteria in place ahead of time so that everybody knows exactly what you're aiming for and you only see those candidates who are going to be potentially suitable for the role. If you're going to be undertaking a recruitment exercise in the near future, you can find a link in the show notes. That's adviceforemployers.co.uk/podcast/11. And in those show notes, you'll find a link to sign up for a copy of my recruitment fact sheet, which gives you everything you need to know about recruiting legally and also a checklist on what you need to do to ensure that you get the best out of your recruitment. So that brings me to the end of episode 11 of the podcast. I do hope that you're enjoying listening and would be happy to answer any questions that you may have. If you want to send any questions through via email or via the website adviceforemployers.co.uk, I would be happy to answer those in the next episode of the podcast. Finally, if you have liked this podcast, if you have enjoyed listening to the content and you find it useful for you, please leave me a review in iTunes. It's a great way for other people to find me. Many thanks. Thanks again for listening. Just want to finalise by saying I wouldn't be a lawyer unless I had a legal disclaimer. So I must just say to you that the information in this podcast is for information only. It's a general review and a general update. It's always necessary to get specific legal advice about your circumstances. So please don't rely on anything that you've heard in this podcast. But please do feel free to contact me if you'd like further information or specific advice.